And once again, you're listening to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Andrew Shores, and this morning I'm still joined by USD 383 Superintendent Marvin Wade and USD 383 Board Member Kurt Herman. And gentlemen, this evening we have a meeting coming up at the Robinson Education Center, and looking at the agenda for tonight, how fortunate is USD 383 to have so many students to recognize at one board meeting? I mean, you're going to have a lot of students there tonight, right?
Oh, students and parents and coaches and teachers, all kinds of people. It's going to be great because we're recognizing, well, several different groups, but one of them being the Blue M, the MHS yearbook. It for the first time, it was a National Scholastic Press Association All-American designation for the quality of the yearbook. We've got the boys basketball team, which won they're the Centennial League champions for the third straight year. The girls basketball team, as everybody knows, 6A state champions. The wrestling team, 6A state champions. And it's not just the teams, it's also individuals on the teams that have received numerous honors. So it's just going to be great tonight to be able to recognize them and not just as good athletes and coaches, but as individuals and students as well.
Well, you get the student-athlete part in that. And, you know, I think people maybe lose track of the fact these kids, besides doing so well in their athletics, that they're doing pretty well in the classroom to be able to have the privilege to step on the field, right?
We see the some of the same names over and over again with academics, extracurriculars, athletics, all kinds of things, that we've got a lot of great leaders within our school system.
Well, at tonight's meeting, Kurt, it looks like there's a few separate items that look like they may be rather important. You're going to be talking about some capital outlay projects being done this summer. Now, is this just maybe brainstorming some more projects that need to be done, or does Mr. Davis have a pretty solid idea of what exactly is going to be going on while the kids aren't in school?
Well, every year we have capital outlay money that we put aside, and then Mr. Davis always fits projects within that budget. But there are some specific things that we save for every year, like roofs is a big thing that, you know, we'll put aside, you know, a couple $100,000 a year for about 5 years, and then we'll replace a roof. And but some of the significant things that we're going to be doing over the summer is that, at the East Campus and the West Campus, we still have elevators in it that are over 27 years old, mm-hmm. I think. So we're going to get those refurbished and reconditioned. And another one I think will be popular for a lot of people is we're going to upgrade the sound system in Rezac. We've actually had a architecture firm been looking at renovating the auditorium as well. There's lots of local businesses that are eagerly wanting to donate to help improve that entire facility. But one of the first steps that we can do while we're waiting on that, on the engineering study, is to upgrade the sound system. And if you've ever been there for a production, sometimes the microphones don't work and the sound system doesn't work. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be about $50,000 to update that. But and we also have one grade school left with sand on the mm-hmm. playground, and that will be changed also, and that's at Northview.
Yeah, Northview Elementary. It looks like you have some new playground equipment headed that way as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Yeah, and that's big because a lot of the schools are very happy because, we used to put sand down on all the playgrounds, and after recess, kids come in and there's sand everywhere in their shoes, and it's a lot safer too. So now, we basically put down an AstroTurf type mm-hmm. of surface. And so, yeah, it's kind of all weather too. It's, wet, rain or snow, you can still get out there on that turf.
Well, and you don't have to replace more. I'm assuming you have to bring in sand sometimes, but if you have something permanent in there, then you may not have to do that near as often, and it can cut a little bit of cost that way, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, also looking at too, I was interested in. I know you gentlemen said this may not be one of the bigger topics, but the transition of land between MATC and Westar Energy. I know that's something we heard a bit about last semester, but maybe just go back over what this means for MATC, because I know it's going to not only bring more power efficiency to Manhattan as far as adding another substation, but it's also going to improve the program at MATC a little bit. And how exactly does USD 383 play into this whole situation between Westar Energy and MATC?
I might touch on that one briefly, that in the past, and I'm not sure how far back, but MATC was part of 383, and then there was legislation that broke off the technical colleges from the school district. So at that point, 383 had the property and deeded it over to MATC. but there was a reversionary agreement in there that if any part of that land was not going to be used for educational purposes, the land would revert back to 383. So we've had conversations about this over time. This is just kind of, these are the legal documents to, I think, finalize the process. But 383 is deeding to MATC the land so that they can sell it to Westar for, as you were saying, the energy grid, but also there's some educational components for training for MATC students that will be part of that Westar project there. So again, we're doing the paperwork so MATC can go ahead and sell that land to Westar. And that's what tonight's essentially about.
And one significant thing too that we wanted to make sure of is that it's not, they're not just going to drop a power station there.
No.
And because it'll be right there close, right off of Sethchild. You could see it. But so they're going to put, you know, a fence around it and it'll be hidden. And I think Westar Energy is really good about putting up, you know, fake trees and stuff, so you probably won't even notice it's there.
Yeah, and that's one thing Jim Jeanette had spoken about, the president of MATC. He had said there were some community members in that part of town who were just a little bit concerned, but, you know, the benefits between having another substation and having, you know, less of a power burden on certain substations and also having that educational component there for MATC students who may largely also be former USD 383 students, and seems like a winning situation, really.
I think so. That we've had one of our relationships we've really been working on is strengthening the ties between 383 and MATC and being able to do more projects together. And this is just one example. And some of the documents we've seen earlier were documents about signage, about the wall around the facility, about easements, some of those things that the details have been worked out, and the NIMBY, not in my backyard. You know, there's always going to be people that don't like these projects, and we understand and respect that, and yet we do have to look at that greater good piece.
Yeah, it's just a part of living in a community, I suppose, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, one thing that has continued to be a hot topic, education funding, and it appears the House K-12 Budget and Finance Committee, they've been rather busy. It sounds like they've been maybe workshopping a few different laws that have been popular or not so popular. Where do they stand right now, if you've been keeping up with that?
The last I saw was that the Education Budget Committee, they've been working on a school finance bill that they're going in, starting this Friday, they're going into that first adjournment. And they're not going to be proposing anything to the full House out of that committee before they return back in May. May 1st, I think, is when they come back. So the latest I saw is they're still working behind the scenes on transportation issues, some other things that are part of that budget, but nothing's going to be proposed probably before May 1st.
Yeah, to me, there's a couple of topics that you know. One is we need to restore the taxes that are being that we don't have, basically, that because, you know, funds that will fund the education formula. I'm holding the legislation to their feet to the fire on this year, because, you know, we the KASB, the Association of School Boards, put together, you know, information and the formula and what could be done to the formula, and then the Superintendent Association also did the same thing, and so we've done all the legwork for them, because, you know, and not only that, you know, a great example is that, you know, other states over the years have seen what Kansas does, and some states use our formula, the one we used to have. I mean, the biggest difference was is they put the money into it, and we kind of stopped doing that, and that's why the formula was struggling so much. But,
and they're struggling with both sides of the equation, because on the one hand there's the Kansas Supreme Court issue out there of adequacy and equity, and the funding hasn't been adequate or equitable up to now, but the revenues are not there in order to fund what it needs to be. So they're having to look at how are they going to increase the monies as well as get it to the school districts in the right way. So they really got their feet to the, as Kurt said, got their feet to the fire on this issue, and they've got to have it resolved by the end of June.
Yeah, the formula was good. They just didn't fund it enough. because there's lots of great things in the formula too. I mean, the weightings are so important, especially for like special ed students. And in fact, one of our, on our report today, tonight will be about our, you know, our special ed programs. And people don't realize we have over 1,000 students with the special ed individual education plan.
That's 1/6 of your district. I mean, that's
right.
A lot of students.
And that's right. And seeing the, and just by the grant, but the grants that we've been on the last 2 years doesn't give us any additional funding based on the special ed needs of our students. I mean, and that's just one small piece of it. But
as an observer of education, one thing I've realized, a lot of opponents of this per pupil sort of formula that a lot of people are wanting Kansas to restore, they say it's too complicated. I guess my question as someone who's not familiar with education, is education funding supposed to be simple? Just because I think Kurt made a very good point. I mean, there's so many different components you have to consider when it comes to education. So taking these block grants and it seems like it's not as specific as maybe the per pupil formula was, and it didn't fill enough gaps. Whereas if you return to the per pupil, there's going to be more funding for certain things. Was that maybe sort of the problem with the block grants? Just in really generally speaking.
Oh man, part of it is the Lou Foster, director of business operations, talks about how it's going to have to be complicated when our budget's $80 million and it's taxpayer dollars, then we need to. It's going to be complicated. But that said, there's how much money is necessary in order to meet the needs of the variety of students. Like Kurt said, the students with disabilities, the gifted education students, English language learners, on and on and on. There's been a lot of studies with the different weightings of how much additional money is necessary in order to get them up to where they need to be in order to be competitive out in the workforce. But to come up with the monies for that is difficult. So yes, it is complicated, and some of the laws that we have don't make it any easier. And I'm talking at the federal level, state level, both. So it is a complicated issue. And the block grant piece, the biggest thing there, I think, is the funding was froze at a level from a couple years ago, and our district has grown in size, but that funding hasn't increased right with the growth.
Yeah, there's no accounting for growth of a district, or even if your district shrinks. Actually, if your district is losing students, you have an advantage.
So those costs associated with those educating those students hasn't gone down, but the funding hasn't gone up either.
So right. On a micro level, it's like having a family and having another child, but not having enough money to pay for the said child, just because that adds in a whole bunch of new responsibilities.
That's a great example.
So you pare back where you can.
Yeah. Well, it's 9:37 here at KMAN's In Focus, and gentlemen, is there anything else you'd like to talk about this morning before we go ahead and wrap things up?
Well, you know, traditionally, there's always the Jones list. I don't know if you know about the Jones list.
But that's the Michelle Jones list.
Give us. I'm always supposed to read these off, or she'll throw something at me tonight when I get there. But so we have our kindergarten roundup coming up on April 6th from 5:45 to 6:45 at all elementary schools. All children ready for and eligible for kindergarten need to be 5 years old on or before August 31st of their kindergarten year. If you're not sure where your child will attend, call our transportation department. Bring your original birth certificate, immunization records, and Social Security card. And also summer STEM program, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And I think it should be STEAM. It should add art to that, but I'd never win that argument. The program is now accepting enrollment for the summer. Enrollment is for students currently grades 5 through 8. And for information on that, you can visit our website also. And there's no school on Friday, the April 14th.
Well, what a pleasure. I'm sure no one's complaining about that. And Dr. Wade, anything else for us this morning?
No, just appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk more about our great district.
Well, it's 9:39 here at News Radio KMAN. You've been listening to In Focus with USD 383 Superintendent Marvin Wade and Board Member Kurt Herman. Coming up next, we'll be talking about the Manhattan Convention and Visitors Bureau with Karen Hibbard. Stay with us.
Your day is already busy enough, so staying informed should not be a chore. Stay connected and be informed. News Radio KMAN.
Your KMAN morning show has been brought to you by your locally owned